Hari Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahariryan Karabavahai Tejasvinavaditamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Krishna Sandarbha Adhikarna 2, no, Adhyayana 2, Adhikarna 1, Description of Swayam Bhagavan, Lord Krishna, page 62. Maitreya asked why Hiranyakashipu was not liberated, whereas when he became Shishupal, he was liberated. Parasara explained the greater power of Krishna in comparison with Nrisimha. Moreover, 62. Yeah? Parasa explained the greater power of Krishna in comparison with Nrisimha. Moreover, demons cannot attain liberation unless they meet Krishna. Other forms of the Lord do not deliver liberation to demons. That is indicated by the word Eva, repeated twice in Gita. I cast those hateful, cruel, and lowest of humans, constantly doing evil, into repeated birth and death in the wombs of demons only. Taking birth as demons, birth after birth, these fools, not attaining me, go to the lowest position, O son of Kunti. 16:19-20, Udriti. The following excerpt from Laghu Bhagavatamrita illuminates this topic. As long as those who hate me do not contact me in the form of Krishna, they attain low birth. This is clearly stated. Therefore, the three forms of Nrisimha, Rama, and Krishna, Krishna is the best. This is not astonishing because the nature revealed in Krishna is not seen in the others. What is astonishing about this? There should be no astonishment because his nature, having a full manifestation of qualities such as giving liberation to demons, is not seen in Nrisimha or Rama. Laghu Bhagavatamrita, Chapter 5, Text 83, 84, and Commentary. That's interesting. Okay, so only in Krishna Lila, then you see they become. Yeah, because that's right. He killed. I don't remember which is the demon, but Karna in his last life, previous life, it was some demon that had the benediction of 1,000 kavachas. Who was that?
It's called Sahasra Kavacha, but the original name of demon I forgot.
Yeah, I wish that was Narakasura, but it's not, because Narakasura and I think. Bhamasura?
Same.
Same, yeah. And so he was killed by Naranarayan. But he didn't get liberation. He appeared as Karna. So then that would show, because then here, Nrisimha, then he comes back as Ravana, then he's killed, then he comes to Shishupal Dantavakra. Then when they're killed, then they get liberated. Mm-hmm. So only Krishna liberates. Because it means the other form, they're coming specifically to, it means they're always coming, in any case, to create wonderful pastimes to attract the devotees, but they have the factor of the emphasis has a lot on the establishing Dharma. Well, Krishna, his pastimes, that's the attractive feature. That's the ultimate Dharma, is to be absorbed in Krishna. So it's not just establishing a nice environment. In some scriptures, it may be said that those who hate the Lord attain liberation by the power of thinking him. But it's never said that all of the haters of the Lord are given liberation by the avatars or their source, Vishnu. Thus, Parasara says that Krishna alone has additional powers for giving liberation to them. Previously noting that the cause of liberation is meeting the Lord endowed with great power directly, and remembering the liberation of Puta and others by Krishna, while worrying that Kalanemi and others did not get liberation. Well, that may have been, he was Kalanemi, I think.
Kamsa.
Kamsa, I think he was Kalanemi. Yeah. And worrying that Kalanemi and others did not get liberation on being killed by other forms of the Lord, Parasara says this is the most astonishing nature of Bhagavan known as Krishna. In prose, he says at the end, this Krishna, glorified and remembered, bestows the rarest results to both devatas and demon. Demon, just one, or let's see. Devatas and demons. Even by their connection through hatred. What to speak of giving results to those who are completely devoted? Vishnu Purana 4:15-17. Rudriti. Srila Rupa Goswami elucidates on this topic in Lagu Bhagavatamrita as follows. Having stated this, Parasara remembered that Krishna liberated Putana during his childhood years, whereas Kalanemi was not liberated by the Lord's activities in another form, as Ajita. He then said, I am he, Bhagavan. Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan. Vishnu Purana 4:15-17. Since Krishna is famous as Swayam Bhagavan, he immediately attracts the minds of both devotees and demons. Therefore, his glorification in this way is not surprising. Understanding in this way the clear purport of Parasara's prose by sympathetic reading, Krishna is proclaimed as even more remarkable as an object of worship. Lagu Bhagavatamrita, chapter 5, text 65-67. So that's the interesting thing. The battle of Kurukshetra, who was there and saw Krishna, then they would all get liberated. Well, then in the battle in Lanka, then they wouldn't. According to Bhagavatam, the two brothers had three births and should attain liberation from Krishna alone. Narada indicates this. Inimical kings like Shishupal, Pandurka, and Shalva, while they were lying down, sitting, or engaged in other activities, enviously meditated upon the bodily movements of the Lord, his sporting pastimes, and his loving glances. Being thus always absorbed in Krishna, they achieved positions in the spiritual world. What then can be said of the benedictions offered to those who constantly fix their minds on Lord Krishna in a favorable, loving mood? Srimad Bhagavatam, 11:5-48. They all attain liberation by the power of Krishna, since he is able to attract the mind of a person who thinks of him somehow or other. Other forms of the Lord do not have this nature. Thus they do not liberate the demons. Vena, though a hater of Vishnu, did not attain liberation, since he was not absorbed in the Lord. Therefore it is said, Tasmat kenap yupayena mana krishne niveshayet. By some means one should concentrate the mind on Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam 7:132. Rudriti. Srila Rupa Goswami in Lagu Bhagavatamrita concludes the discussion on Paravasta forms by citing the following verse. Because Krishna is Swayam Rupa, it is stated in the Swayam Bhuva Agama, in the chapter describing the 14-syllable mantra, that Rama and Narsingha are worshipped as the avatar deities of Krishna, avarna deities of Krishna. Because Krishna is the Swayam Rupa, in the discussion of the 14-syllable mantra, Rama and Narsingha are worshipped as avarna deities of Krishna. There it is said. The four, starting with Vasudeva, holding great powers, are worshipped in the four cardinal directions, starting with east, and then in the other directions, the form of the Supreme Lord of Great Wonder, Rama, Narsingha, Kurma, and Vamana, are worshipped. Lagu Bhagavatamrita, chapter 5, text 85, and commentary. So this is in the first circle?
Yes.
I mean, the set means the first circle around.
First circle.
Means you have Swayam Krishna in the middle. And then the first avarna means the first expansion. Then it will be Vasudeva, Sankarshapra, Dumna, Nadi, Ruda, and then Rama, Narsingha, Kurma, and
Vamana.
Like that. That's in the first circle. Then you have like that. So like that, there's seven? Yeah, seven, with Krishna in the middle. And so that'll come all the way out to include whatever's going on in the material world and you know, all these.
So we have the charts and the squares, and now we have the circle.
Yes, yes. Like that, yeah.
And we have this.
And you also have in Brahma Samhita chart with the six-sided, with the Mogan Devan.
Yeah.
I wanted to do that, but then different places, it's put in different ways, because there's also the Shakti of Lord. Sometimes instead of these four personalities, corresponding Shaktis are given.
Mm.
So then it becomes...
No, you just make two charts.
Yeah, yeah.
Just make two charts.
Shaktis we should do...
Means you make the one chart that has all the Vishnus out, and then make another chart which may have the same personalities but show the Shaktis.
But in the first Avaranas we know that. But after that then, like towards the end when we come to that time we'll discuss more.
Mm. But also you have that thing where just the Shaktis are in the eight directions.
Yeah.
And of all those
that
those
is
eight.
In Lakshmi Tantra.
Yeah.
Here it will be like together all these seven Avarana places will have 74 planets. I mean 74 planets or whatever. Abodes surrounding to Krishna.
Mm.
That's mentioned. Towards the end of this book, then we'll come across that.
Okay.
It's from Lagu Bhagavatam.
So, towards the end, can we get a chart?
Okay. Well,
Shaktis can be in brackets.
Yeah.
No, better do it separately, because also my students, they try to apply Shaktis on the Vishnu Tattva.
Yeah.
But because we didn't go that far in the book, it's all speculative, maybe this, maybe that, what's matching, what doesn't match. So I told them at this stage, I said, don't worry about Shaktis, let's figure Vishnu Tattva, and then we'll deal with the Shakti, because Shakti just follows, you know, the form of the Lord.
Plus, yes.
So I told, let's do it separately, otherwise it's too much confusion and overlapping.
Mm-hmm.
It just... people get lost.
Yeah, because there's a principle that's there. So when you say, let's say like Shri, but that's that particular nature of that Shakti. But with Ram, that will be, you know, maybe Sita.
Yeah.
But the point is that, you know, but then they'll think, no, but we'll see with this. They'll take two external.
Yeah.
And also the names of Shaktis in each book will mention the different names. Each, like, you know, Acharya also sometimes mention different names for the Shaktis.
Because as long as you know the position, then you know, you know. And if they give definition, then it may be other flavors. Because one always has to remember, especially if you're starting with like eight and then expanding, that means all the qualities have to be in those eight. So that as you see the expansion, it means all these natures, even out here, are already there in the first one. So then in here, in the main one, then you might see is that this quality comes out more, but as you go out, then this other quality comes out, even though it's maybe there. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, it's just like, let's say, Mother Jashoda, so then she's chastising Krishna, but that's not the prominent aspect. But you take someone farther out, like Durga, or like that, that's what she does. You know. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You know, so... In other words, because she's also known as the mother, you know, like that. But it's just, even the motherly aspect, you have one aspect and you have the other aspect. So it's, Maya is not so much nourishing the jivas in the material world. It means they have their material desires, they can say that's being nourished. But actually they themselves is not. Does that make sense? So that's the thing, it has to be appreciated. What is the nature of that position? But the point is it's a person, and it's from the person that comes all these. You know, that's where it gets difficult. Because it's like, it's either the person, and then how can they have all these, or if it's a position, how can they be a person? You know, so that's always the difficulty, is that you have both of them simultaneously, but the person's first. You know. Because we're used to the positions first.
Because Janma means position, material birth means position.
Yeah.
Because you're already installed in a certain family, in a certain, you know, in the sky, what are the stars and this and that. It's mm-hmm. all, it's all basically about position, and mm-hmm. then, you know, you as a person.
Yeah. Yeah, and because of the position, they act like that. But yeah. You know, it's like you see, it's the kids there, and they're in the family, they have the nature of the parents is quite dismal, but as they grow up, then the nature you start to see is it becomes more and more similar.
Yeah.
Like that. Very, very, you know, very standard, because it's just, you're seeing that aspect at that age, but if you check, their parents were probably like that at that age also, but as they mature, then also then the child will mature. That's why then they're in that position, because of that similar nature. Mm-hmm. You know.
And the mantra, the 14, do we know what is the mantra?
That is, I think it's given later. I think that is the Gopal mantra.
Yeah, it's just Gopal, depending on what part you take or how many aspects, and you get 18 down to 10.
Yeah.
So it's known as 10, it's known as 12, so there must be also 14.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's just...
Also, here, when it says that Krishna is there in the center and the first avarana is, you know, these eight forms. When we say Krishna is in the center, it's not just Krishna, it's like golden lotus, Krishna, Radharani, and then...
Yeah, it means this whole scene. And, and that's... This is just what's outside. And then in there, then you have Radha and Krishna in the Yogpeet, you know. And then from there, then you have Lalita, Vishaka, and all that going around. And then from them comes everything that's going to be on the outside. So that's why then the Shaktis that come there, then if you see them back to the Astasakti, yeah, then it makes more sense.
Yeah. He also mentioned in Brahma Samhita in that verse, Ananda Chidmayaras, he's with Radha, and then her sakis represent her specific qualities.
Mm. Yes, yes.
So, but she has all of them.
Yes.
In there, but then they just go like that.
Yeah, because you think, you know, Vishaka, she teaches this or does this, that, but Radharani has all. She's the master of all 64. Yeah. While other Shakis are master at some, expert at some, and knowledge of one another. Yeah, so it gets very serious.
Personally, I was not confident to would like your full list. Yeah. Just left it.
Thus it should be concluded that Krishna has the most amazing Shakti among all the forms of the Lord. By refuting contrary statements, by making the statements favorable in meaning, the position of Krishna as Swayam Bhagavan is made stronger. In Vedanta Sutra as well, one sees that a statement in scripture is established by refuting various contrary statements. One should have faith that this is the same principle applied here. Right? So it's not that you more than faith, because you can say, oh, that's one interpretation, but no, the point is if we're taking the, you know, it's been nicely established how you have the Vedic literature of that, then the Vedanta Sutra is considered to be the essence when you're dealing with, you know, philosophy, with the tattva. Bhagavatam, then it's a natural commentary on that, so it's actually the superior, literature. And then Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam, then is the verse that regulates everything else. So then that means all Vedic verses can be seen in that context. So depending upon how it's written or what it's that, you might have a few aspects to bring it to that. But the point is that's what it's supposed to be. So it's not like he's saying that the Vedanta Sutra is making a point. Right? There's a thesis that's there. Then they will deal with all other schools of thought and how to correct that. So it says it's the same process. So if that's working in Vedanta Sutra, why wouldn't that work in the commentary on Vedanta Sutra? Yes.
So in that sense, Maharaj, like Vedanta Sutra is a unique scripture when compared to all the Vedas and all, because in each Veda a particular thing is emphasized, and then based on that you may analyze that scripture, and then it's mostly Tatvarya Lingas.
Mm-hmm.
But when you come to Vedanta Sutras, then these six principles of Shruti, Linga and all those become prominent, because now here we are not just analyzing a subject matter, we are analyzing the whole knowledge and placing everything in its place.
Yes, yes. Yes, you have that. And at the same time as the principles of the Tatparyalingas will be there, but it may be the circle becomes bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Means each adi, means those are adhikaranas, right?
Pratityavakyas?
No. But I'm saying, because this is anuchedas. That's adhikaranas, I think.
Yes.
So in there, then you have certain one verse is an adhikarana or a group of verses an adhikarana. So sometimes within one presentation, you know, in one verse and the commentaries, it's only dealing with a part of that Panchamanyaya.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So then, by taking all of them together, then you get the complete full thing. But some of them, like the first four, each one of them is complete in itself.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, then they tend to go in groups. So, yes, so you're going to have that, it'll bring in all, means whatever could be considered in logic has to be discussed, because it's Nyaya Prashtan. So whatever is there, because otherwise if it's not there, then one can say, what about this angle, or what about that angle? And so Vedanta Sutra has to discuss all those things, otherwise then it won't be appreciated. You know, just by the nature. So you have to completely. So then on logic. So for the you know, those who are, means all can use it. So we see as all schools appreciate it. Like that. So that makes sense. All the Vedanta schools then appreciate. Then you'll see is that, but the fullest answer is given in the Sandarbhas, which means now it's the Bhagavatam's presentation of you could say Nyaya Prashtan. You know, if you take Bhagavatam and put it in that logical sequence rather than a conversation, then the Sandarbha will be. So, thus it should be concluded that Krishna has the... Okay, we can do that. One should consider the strength or weakness of the statements, not the quantity or scarcity of statements. This is seen in the world where one fighter sometimes defeats thousands of opponents. Thus, all the Vedas indicate Parabrahman in the form of Sri Krishna by refuting many contrary statements.
Before we go into that. So this statement, when it was said that one should consider the strength or weakness of the statements, not the quantity and scarcity.
Yes.
Because this was there in the Adhyaya Prakasha also. Then Pandava Prabhu brought this question that when we are analyzing through the Tatparyalingas, we see that whatever is repeated is more important.
Yes, that's for a topic.
Yes.
But it doesn't necessarily mean for a conclusion. That's how you understand a topic, because it'll be repeated and all that. But still, then you have to see what's the strength to know, therefore, out of that, what's the whole. I mean, within the topic, what's the essence? So the Paribhasha, then, that's establishing what's the essence. And all the other aspects of that Mimamsa, that's giving you the theme that's there. Does that make sense?
Yes.
The overall... You know, so therefore you see they're all worshipping Vishnu, that Vishnu is supreme, that's going to be there, but of that form, that Krishna is the Swayam Bhagavan. So?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's why you always have to analyze according to, they say this, but then you also have to know strength and weakness.
Just like when we always bring out the topic on the Puranas, like some are categorized into Tamasic, Rajasic and Sattvic, based on where they fall, what is the strength of the statement that is being emphasized in that book.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, that's why you see in these Tamasic Puranas, so they have 100,000 verses, but the Acharyas will only quote a handful from the whole thing.
So that's the strength of that statement, which is the connecting part to the higher ones.
Yes. Because otherwise, then you know, whatever information is given there is given in the other Puranas, but it's just given in a way that someone who their mentality is more tamasic, they would be attracted than that. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. What do the Vedas instruct us? Action. That is, what is the final meaning of the Vedas? What alternatives do the Vedas raise? No one except me or my dear devotee knows the intended meaning of the Vedas. The Vedas indicate bhakti as the action and indicate me as the meaning. I am the meaning of all the Vedas. I, as karma and jnana, am proposed and rejected as alternatives. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:21, 42-43. So everything being Krishna, that means also karma and jnana, how they function, what are the elements, what they can do, everything, that's still Krishna. But the point is the meaning is him as a person. That's the real meaning. And the other is the karma and jnana, even though that's him, that's rejected for the actual meaning, and bhakti is the action. Because otherwise karma will give one action, jnana will give another action. But the actual action is bhakti. Yes?
When you said that karma and jnana can bring their fruits only if we add bhakti.
Yes.
In what sense? Devotion to the process itself or devotion to the Lord?
Means both aspects are there, because the process itself is Krishna. The elements are Krishna. The knowledge is Krishna. It's all Krishna. So if you apply yourself there, then with good, you know, work for a long time, then you will get some results. Because you're dealing, piety will get you good results, impiety will get you bad results. Piety means you're following God's laws, impiety means you're not. So if therefore, if you're applying that devotion to the subject matter, then you're going to get results. So now let's say you're not following the rules, but you're devoted there'll be some results. When? That's another thing. Now you know the proper things, you're following the Shastrakam, that you're aware of that, and applying yourself, you get better results. Now if you worship Krishna to get those material results, it'll work even better. But the best result is worshiping Krishna without desiring results, because then you get eternal. All the first three will get you material benefits only. Does that make sense? Yeah. Because in there is that you can say, oh, but they're worshipping Krishna, but what do they think is the Krishna's ultimate position? What is the ultimate position of the Lord? So either they don't think about it, you know, and so just, like, it could be him or anyone else that they're worshipping, as long as that's the method, they'll do it. So then they're not really situated very well as well. Right? But that they're following the devotional process, they're following these different things that the Veda recommends, they're better situated. Because for them, if you now you give them the real thing, it's easy for them to follow. Does that make sense? You know? Because they're already following the Shastra, they're already following the methods and lifestyle and all that. So then for them to be given what's the actual essence of that, the real purpose of that, it'll be easy to do. You know, just like, let's say someone's an expert cook. Now they come and understand that about cooking for Krishna. So now they can very nicely do. Because before it would be the anxiety for themselves, or prestige, or this or that. Now they just cook for Krishna. So it'll be you know, it'll be very easy for them, and it'll be very satisfying. This is something else. Yeah. Yes.
Also, there is an aspect of accepting subordination to the Lord. Mm-hmm. Whether they may not be able to see Krishna as Bhagavan, but everybody has to accept a subordination to Brahman and Paramatma aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Where there is something beyond than what you see, only mm-hmm. then you can go ahead and do something. And there also you are governed by some rules. So you need to follow some rules and structure in order to go ahead with something, whether it's mm-hmm. karma or jnana.
Mm-hmm.
So the bhakti is, when we say bhakti, we are referring in the sense of Bhagavan, then we accept the subordination and serve him.
Mm-hmm.
So others may serve him as Brahman and Paramatma, but the same principle and the same process they're applying.
Yes, and it'll be in its more natural form. You know, so they'll do the artiques and have the lamps and all that. But then in a more distorted form, then they're worshipping the Lord in whatever is the form that they're interested, you know, in either knowledge, influence, money, or fame, you know, like that. And so then in that way, then they still have that devote, like you say, someone he's devoted to his work, or he's devoted to his craft, or he's devoted to, you know, like this, they'll say. And it's appreciated, and that's, you know, then you see that they're very good at it. Does that make some sense? So you have that whole range, because without bhakti, nothing can work. So it is the action. So when one realizes that, and one's doing that action to please Krishna, not for anything for yourself, then that's when you get pure devotion. So that's pure bhakti. And everything else will be, you know, mixed, or we don't even call it bhakti, we just call it karma or jnana. But it won't work without the bhakti. Does that make sense? You know, it's just that at that point you don't call it that anymore. You know, it just gets too distorted, that it's not seen in that capacity. You know. Does that make sense? You know, it's like you're cooking something and you really make a mess of it. It's the same ingredients, it was intended kind of in the same thing, but you know, you might call it something else, you know. But, yes.
We had a discussion and the question came up in this regard, whether we can practice bhakti without face. And the conclusion was made that, yeah, we can practice bhakti without face, but Shuddha bhakti, you have to have face in the Supreme Lord.
Yes. Because
other forms, like we dedicated to the process, and we know the connection between the process and Krishna as Bhagavan,
mm-hmm.
because he is the process.
Mm-hmm.
So people dedicate and they don't know. So they just follow the process, but in that sense they get a result because they follow the process given by Krishna,
mm-hmm.
without knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So they practice a form of bhakti, and they got worshippers, of course, and everybody else, but without face in the Supreme. But Shuddha bhakti, you have to understand whom you actually worship, otherwise without that it's not possible.
Mm. Yes. You also have the aspect of when we're saying faith, we mean faith in the, you know, transcendental form of the Lord,
yeah.
Him being the ultimate. So that means all devotees that we would class as devotees then have that faith. It may be kamal, maybe, you know, weak, or maybe
soft.
Delicate, you know, or soft, like that. But the point is it's still that faith. You know, because the things that make it delicate is that they still are, can be easily distracted by, you know, karma and jnana, you know, the material benefits, or, you know, anything like that. So because the anarthas are there. But by practicing the process given by the acharyas in the association of devotees, you know, with that faith, then the heart becomes purified, anartha nivriti, then you come to stability. That stable faith, or that nishta bhajana kriya, then from that platform, if that's applied with desire, then you get ruchi. So basically you'll say that there'll be, they say it means you can divide that whole process as faith, you know, that that's what's making it work, then steadiness, and then taste. Right, so the steadiness is the junction between the two. So you have the faith, but the bhajan will be anishta. It won't be stable. You know, sometimes it's really good, sometimes not. Sometimes you're really focused on Krishna, sometimes not. You know, like that. Nishta means it's stable, whatever it is. But then having that desire to develop that taste for Krishna, therefore there's that, you know, that he's asking about that, Lord Chaitanya. Then it will come to taste, and then that will go to attachment, to bhava. So that, you see, is just a natural progression. So once taste is there, naturally comes attachment, comes bhava, comes prema. You know, once you get to there, that goes very quickly. So the point is to get to that point of being fixed, but with understanding that you know, you have that desire, I would like to move in that way. Otherwise, then the stability will go there. The purity is there, but as you get association, then that will come up. So in any case, if you're on that platform, it could naturally move forward. Does that make sense? So that faith. So what is being discussed here, they may be taking themselves in that position, but no, they're already in what's called faith. It means the people before is that, you know, we're doing a program, they'll worship Krishna and everything, but, you know, someone else comes along and does a program, they'll be worshiping somebody else. So they don't have that faith that we would say is that it's you know, it's just a matter of the quality of it. So in the beginning, the quality is not so strong, it's weak, but it becomes strong as it goes. Yes?
Also, in Amnaya Sutra, that's why the faith at the level of Nishtha is categorized as the faith in the process of devotional service. Initially, the faith is there in the Supreme Lord. But when we say the faith in the process of devotional service, then that includes the devotees, guru, and the whole thing, like Guru Sadhu Shastra. So basically we understand it's not Krishna, it's just the Supreme Lord. Why is he Supreme Lord? And how does he reciprocate, and what is most important to him in everything?
Yeah, that's right. Does that make it nice?
Yeah.
Because that means faith in Krishna is there all the way through, that you accept him as the Supreme Lord. But it's not necessarily that Nishtha means your faith in the devotional process has become fixed. That you know that no other process other than bhakti will get you that result. Otherwise, we're thinking that, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little new agey, this and that, you know. Mix it in, you know, give it a shake, or don't shake it, just stir it, you know, whatever it is your particular preference. And then, you know, that will make it all happen. But Nishtha means no, only bhakti. So you're only connected with that. It's only by the association of devotees. It's all about devotees, you know, from the whole way through. It's always about devotees. So that's the thing, is the neophyte only sees the Supreme Lord. And then these processes are apply because they connect to the Supreme Lord. But then the nature of bhakti becomes prominent in the life of the someone who's fixed in devotional service. And then because of that, then you can get a taste. It means there's always a taste, but then it becomes a fixed taste rather than an occasional taste. So, you know, that's why then it's also you have... You worship the Supreme Lord, but you're friends with the devotees, right? You're compassionate to the innocent, and you avoid the, you know, those inimical. Well, for the neophyte, they'll have worship of the Supreme Lord, but they're not necessarily friendly with devotees. They're not necessarily kind to the innocent, and they may be quite comfortable with those who are inimical. You know, it's like, well, they do this, and, well, you know, they're better than us. You know, look at them, they do this very nicely. But for us, that only has a value when you see it in the context of devotional service. But they're saying, no, they're distributing food, they're better than us, because we take distributing food is the important point. Well, it's actually, no, you're being kind of living entities because they're connecting to Krishna, because it's prasad. Right? Hence, food for life rather than you know, ISKCON prasadam distribution. Because it's the distributing food is the important factor rather than the prasadam. Does that make sense? So that's how you tell the difference between someone who's more advanced or less advanced. In the devotional services, what's the important element of that?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. There's one story from life of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and he had a very close disciple from high-grade Brahmana family from Bengal.
Mm-hmm.
And he raised him in Krishna consciousness. He joined really very young. Mm-hmm. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati kept him by his side, like really, you know, mm-hmm. he was personal taking care, and you know, he stayed in his room, you know, together and like that. And then he sent him to UK for preaching. And he was born in Sanskrit, I mean English, like Shakespeare English, like top. And then he went there, and then he came back. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati immediately called him in and said, "So, what is the, you know, what's the result of your preaching?" He said, "They are better than us. We have nothing to offer them." And then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati became like, I mean, he was very, very angry, and he just sent him away.
Yeah, I think it was, it's the same, but a similar thing is that when the person came back to Bombay and they were riding on the train to, you know, to Calcutta to meet Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, then on the train greeting him and bringing him was Sridhar Maharaj and Srila Prabhupada. And so then they were discussing, so how's the preaching, how's the philosophy and this and that. And so he said, oh, they can't understand this and that. You can't, they have this answer, this argument, that argument, like that. So then Sridhar Maharaj would go, okay, what's the first argument? What's the argument? What's their problem? And he would say, you know, I said this, and then they say that, and, you know, like this and that. And then after saying that, okay, so this is what they're saying, right? And then he said, yes, yes. So then Sridhar Maharaj would turn to Sridhar Prabhupada and go, what's the answer? And then he would give the answer. You know, and then, okay, what's the next point? And, you know, so the whole train ride, because, you know, from Bombay especially, that's at least a 30, 36-hour train ride. So the whole way they go, once he had no more points, then Sridhar Maharaj announced that, see, the West has been defeated. But the fun part is he'd have Prabhupada answer, because he was the Bhaktivedanta. You know. So, yeah. That's the difficulty. It's not, there's nothing to gain. I've heard devotees say there's nothing I can learn in India from the Indians, because, you know, it's like our culture is better, we're cleaner, we're more organized, we're this. It's kind of like, what are you talking about? You know.
Maharaj, also another point in from the stage of Nishtha, then we move on to the stage of taste, ruchi. But also, like, there is an aspect of raganuga sadhana and vaidhi sadhana. So in description of nature of love in prema sampada, then when the question comes, like, then how this love is developed in a living entity, then it's said that one should have that intense greed to develop it, having that mood of, like, not submission to, I couldn't remember the exact word. Basically, it's, you should have
submission to the previous acharya.
So then,
that's what we mean by desire.
Yes.
But, you know what I'm saying? So if you use that, then they'll think, okay, you know, yeah, maybe. But if you say greed, then everyone goes, oh, that's raganuga. That's the way it's been discussed. Therefore, yeah, no, I have greed like that. But you don't have desire, but you have greed. What's going on? You know. So that's the thing, is that how can you be greedy unless you have desire? So desire will turn into that. So the point is you have the desire, and that will give you, and, you know, and you're steady, then that taste. Because steady, it means you have no other interest than performing bhakti. Everything you do is seen in the context of bhakti. Right? So even everything else would be just like someone's identifying, let's say, as a kshatriya. Right? And so, therefore, they become Krishna conscious. So, because they're a kshatriya, they do kshatriya stuff for Krishna. Right? And that's fine. That's how you engage yourself. But at some point, then sarvapadi vinirmuktam, they only identify as a devotee. And to do service, they have the ability to work, do kshatriya stuff. You know? And so they can do that. But if it's not, they can do, you know, all the regular standard stuff of sadhana. They can worship the Lord and do all those different things. So the mentality switches. Does that make sense? So the desire, if the desire is not there for that, means then it'll be slower. So even the desire is there, well, it starts to get a taste. But then that taste, one gets a greed for that, then it'll go into spontaneous. If not, it'll just progress naturally. From there, you become attached and all this. Then on the platform of bhava, then it will switch to rag. You know, so in other words, rag can start from as early as nishta, that there's that interest and that can go there. You know, or anyway, but if not, it will start at bhava, because what's to get in the way? But this idea that it'll start at neophyte, that doesn't make sense. Because neophyte means they're distracted by material desire, so how are they spontaneous? That's whimsical.
So one of the aspects of bhava, the six characteristics, is the condensed love for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So basically that is where the aspect of intense desire for worshiping Krishna is there. So if somebody can have that intensity from little before, that's when it becomes like rough.
Yes. Yeah. So it's a natural progression. It's just when it will happen. That's all.
Yes.
So that makes sense. Because one could say, oh, what about someone like Prahlad Maharaj? You know, he's just a little kid. How can he be like that? But then look at the prayers. You know? So, it's not that he knows nothing. And you see his firm faith in his guru. Says, you know, so that's his position. That's his identity as a servant. So you see, it's at least there's that minimum. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Is that... Okay. I am proposed and rejected as karma and jnan. Vikalpya apohyate. By negating all these, the conclusion is reached that I, Krishna, am the final truth. The Lord spoke thus the verse. Priti. Having conclusively established the unparalleled, supremacy of Lord Krishna over all the other forms, the author next lists various verses that clearly support the conclusions and thus mitigate any inconsistency that may arise from contrary statements. First, the author cites verses which establish Krishna as the source of all the lila avatars. Well, here's lila avatars. Yeah, it can be, but the point is because they're all discussed at different points. Like you'll hear about the Purusha avatars, how they go back to Krishna, lila avatars, like this. So, yeah.
Basically, wherever the doubts may come up, nobody will say why Manvantara avatars are like supreme. But lila avatars can be told, guna avatars sometimes, because there's always a fight. Among the trees.
Yeah, it's supreme. Yeah.
And then Purusha avatars. So I think.
Generally, no one's thinking Shakti Vesha or something. And Yuga avatars just doesn't even come into the discussion, right?
That's why they're from Bali, not from Bali.
Yeah. Adhikarna too. Yeah, that was the point. Is that they're not necessarily well known or predominant. And so then, because they're just showing less power. The more power, then the more.
Also, the point is that if they're not staying for the whole time of Brahma, then how they'll have influence? Like Yugavatar, Krishna is like, then people see him as Yugavatar. Oh, he's in Dwapara Yuga, then what about before Yuga? He's not there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
And then that question actually arises.
Mm-hmm. So there's a lila avatar, then they're willing to be more.
I also heard the question that, as if those people know, but they say in the Vedas, the name of Krishna is not mentioned, so why do we worship Krishna?
I would say is they don't really know enough to say that it's not mentioned.
Because records so many times.
Yeah, so like that. You know, and then, okay, then when they say in the Vedas, means what aspect of the Vedas? You know, do they even know that? Or they just say, no, the Vedas is not, you know, there's four Vedas and each Veda has four parts, so where is it not being?
Thousand shakas. I think one of them has 1,000, another has 100.
Yeah, and then all the shakas and all that. So what you're looking at now is 6% of all the Vedic literature. So there's some hitas may be all there, but everything else is not there. So, you know, why? Who did they pick that up? If it's a devotee, why would they even bother? If it's a karmi, then, you know, they hear these things that the scholars say, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then, you know, they'll say these things.
Also, Maharaj, the fun part is...
And why is it called... Krishna, you know, what is it called? Krishna Yajurveda. Right there, there's the name. Yeah.
Also, Shankaracharya wrote the Sri Krishnastakam. That is the pastime of the... He wrote about the Leela of Radha Krishna.
Oh, what's it called, the book?
Krishnastakam.
Krishnastakam, okay.
So he wrote, all the other Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, everybody discuss. So,
yeah.
You would be honored.
Some kind of, I think, standard doubts in different segments
yeah.
of people. They ask
yeah, yeah.
the same.
Hindu doubts. Yeah, yeah, that's the same thing.
Those, it's like you can categorize somebody.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Make a small book, you know. Those ask a question from that segment of people, those from this, you know, New Age people, they ask this. Liberals,
yeah.
they ask this.
Conservatives, yeah, yeah.
they ask this. It's like standard.
Very standard.
Very standard. Because I felt like she already asked me this, but it was somebody else.
Yeah, it was somebody else. Or they'll ask the same thing from a slightly different angle, because...
I was just paraphrasing, and then Om and all that, you know, this, in the same question line, it was all the same. Why Srila Prabhupada says Krishna when there is no Krishna in Sanskrit, and why Om is not superior to Mahamantra? You know, they all in the same way.
Yeah. Yes, so are you chanting Om?
These are from the Shaivites, all the Smartha gurus. They actually trigger this kind of question.
Yeah, yeah. But are they People chanting on the Om? Why are they chanting Shiva's name? Because Om is superior. Why are they wasting their time?
Yeah.
Because impersonalism then is the one philosophy that is the catch-hold for anything else. Because if it's impersonal, that means you can do whatever you want. So that's why people want to be independent. Therefore, the impersonalism will accommodate that. If there's no God, there's no life, then you can do whatever you like. If there's no standards, like the whole liberal thing is based on, that there can't be any God. Or they can't be the living entity, because then if it's just chemicals, what does it matter what you do? Of course, you have to deal with these chemicals the way they say, but you know that's another thing. But it just removes all tradition, all everything like this, and then now they're free to do whatever they like. So it becomes very popular for everybody that way. So you'll see as the more they go into these things, the more atheistic they have to become. So, you know, that's the danger of these things, is that they'll put the knowledge itself as what's important rather than the source of the knowledge. So, yeah. Okay, Adikarna 2. Lord Krishna established as the source of all avatars, under Chedas 30 through 43, Adhikarana Prakashita. The current Adhikarana reinforces the main assertion, Krishna's true Bhagavan Swayam, Krishna as the primeval Lord who exhibits the complete features of Godhead, by providing various statements that establish Krishna's position as the source of the Leela, Guna, and Purusha avatars. This helps us to perceive contrary statements presented in various scriptures in the light of the Paribhasha Sutra. First, in Anuchetas 30 through 35, the author cites various texts of the 10th canto of Bhagavatam to prove Krishna is the cause of the Leela avatars. In the 10th canto, chapter 87, Narad Muni glorifies Lord Krishna as follows. I offer my respectful obeisances to the person of spotless fame, the Supreme Lord Krishna, who contains within himself attractive avatars so that all living entities can extinguish suffering. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:87-46. The author elucidates that Krishna's superiority over the other avatars is indicated by his exceptional quality of giving liberation to even his enemies. Simply by constantly thinking of him, the enemies of the Lord attain the supreme truth, whom sages fixed in yoga worship by controlling the breath, mind, and senses. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:87-23. Thus, Krishna is established as the cause of the Leela avatars. Right, so, if we're, because we are always going to see all the Leela avatars coming from Krishna, so even hearing the pastimes of the Leela avatars, that will be how Krishna is coming and doing this. So, therefore, even remembering those, we're getting that position of being connected with Krishna. Right? While others, then they just see them separately on their own, they won't get that benefit. Like that. They get the, I mean, of course, benefit in bhakti, they'll move forward in bhakti, but the liberation aspect, that's when they, does that make sense? Yeah. Next, Krishna's supremacy over the guna and purusha expansions is confirmed. Quoting the episode of Brahma's bewilderment when he saw all the cowherd boys turning into various Vishnu forms, the author asserts the following. Krishna manifested and showed to Brahma millions of lords of different universes as portions of his portions. These lords were worshipped separately by jivas from Brahma's creators within the universes down to the plants. Oh, were separately by jivas from Brahma's creator within the universe down to the plants. And by the universe and its component time, swabhava, and karma. As well as the 24 elements like Mahatattva, mystic powers like Anima, and other Shaktis like Aja, Lakshmi. So here's Aja, Lakshmi, so you have different names. They're the same, they're just bringing up different qualities. This illustrates Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam, since he revealed that he had all powers, even over Vishnu. Thus Krishna is called the Ishwara of all Ishwaras, Purushas, since he is the Adi Purusha, and the Purushas are his Amshas. Anucheta 30. In order to produce bliss with great beauty for the observers, I now collect various other statements, like four divisions of the army conquering for the valiant king. The main assertion, Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. And by so doing, making hundreds of contrary statements favorable to it. Right, so then you're going to have, you have all these statements, it means the king is there, and then the four divisions. Right, so that's the those what we mentioned before is the what do you call it, Prakashi, what's
it?
Pratigyavakyas. Those are like main statements that they're seen in the context of the Paribhasha Sutra. Does that make sense? It means you have the Paribhasha Sutra, and that statement. Then you have other major statements that they're all in support of that. Then there'll be, you know, lesser and lesser statements. Mm-hmm. So he's collecting them all together. So these are like the army for the main statement. So that's why he's saying he can be conquering hundreds of contrary statements, because you have the main, it can conquer through these ones, then you get all the work done. So from this one, you get these so many doubts. From this one, you get these doubts from like that. From this one there, then you get, you know, so like we were mentioning before with Prashna, the Brigu. Means prashna means that you have 10 main categories of questions, and all questions will come within those 10 categories. It's just the way it is, you know. Oh, you know, when will this disease go away, or when will I get rich, or when will this problem with the family go away, or you know, are they asking anything else? No. So on that when you're dealing with the external energy, you have these 10 categories. Then, for most Prashnas, because in the categories there'll be subdivisions, you know, of you know, how So then, let's say you're talking wealth, but that wealth might be in the way of land, or maybe with gold, or might be some other form like that, vehicles, or like that. So then each of those 10 has 10 subdivisions. And so that's your standard prashna will be 108. So by 108, basically with that, if you know that well, you can answer anybody's questions. Right? But Bhrigu is special because now it takes those 108 and divides each of those into 10. So that means for every 10 of the main 10 questions, for one question, it has 10 main subdivisions, and then another, you know, so it means, in other words, it has 100 subdivisions, you know, in, you know, does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's what makes it unique. That's why they can get down to, you know, very, very fine little things. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So here is the same principle. You have the Parivasha Sutra. Then you're going to have those main what do you call it?
Pratigyavakyas.
There's going to be those main things. Then from there you're going to get, you know, something like always remember Krishna, never forget. That's going to be a major thing, because with that so many things are going to be corrected. Is that?
Yeah.
Maharaj. Also, we saw that when the word about Kesha, like Krishna is the hair of Vishnu, those kind of things came. By just one Bhagavatam verse, then you can establish that how he is supreme.
Mm.
And also when he came as an Amsha of Vishnu, and so shown in a light, like how it is not Amsha. So basically then, whatever contrary aspects may come, any Vishnu avatar being superior to Krishna is all established by that one statement of Pratigyavakya.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, for each of these, then we can establish through different.
Yes, yes. He's thinking, where's the chart? It's a good thing, no?
No, it's one and then four. But I don't know whether it goes down. Like,
well, that's what he said. And so making hundreds of contrary statements favorable to it. Means those ones, it's just like we were saying, those 10 questions, main questions. Because what are we looking for? My gain and safety. That's all I'm looking for. But there's 10 different areas in which I can ask about that. Like that. You know, and then those have 10 subdivisions. Those have 10, like this. You can. In that way, is that one thing, it answers all, because it has its methods. So then the acharyas, then they know how to connect all these verses and make the whole pattern work. You know? So, yeah. The following verse illustrates Krishna as the cause of the Lila Avatars. O Supreme Controller, you previously accepted incarnations as a fish, a horse, a tortoise, Narasimha, a boar, a swan, Ramachandra, Parasuram, and among the devatas, Vamana, to protect the entire world. Now destroy the suffering of the earth. O best of the Yadus, we respectfully offer our obeisances unto you, who now appear in person, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.2.40. The meaning is clear. Also 10.2, that would be the prayers of the demigods?
Yes.
The Devaki. To Krishna in the womb. The meaning is clear. The devatas spoke thus to the Lord. Anucheta 31. That's why he's saying before that the weight is important.
Yeah.
Like that. O Lord, O Supreme Creator, you have no material birth. Yet to defeat the false pride of the faithless demons and to show mercy to the your devotees, you take birth among the devatas, sages, human beings, animals, and even the aquatics. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.20. Brahma spoke thus to the Lord. Anucheta 32. This son of yours has many forms and names according to his qualities and activities. These are known to me, but people in general do not understand them. 10.8.15. Udriti. Bahuni. The Lord has many names. Advaitam, Achutam, Anadi, Manantarupam, Adyam, Purana, Purusham, Navayovanam Cha. As stated in the Brahma Samhita 5.33, the Lord is one. but he has many forms and many names. It was not that because Gargamuni gave the child the name Krishna, that was his only name. He has other names, such as Bhaktavatsala, Giridhari, Govinda, and Gopala. If we analyze the Nirukti, or semantic derivation of the word Krishna, we find that Na signifies that he stops the repetition of birth and death, and Krishna means Satartha, or existence. Krishna is the whole existence. Also, Krishna means attraction, and Na means Ananda, or bliss. Krishna is known as Mukunda because he wants to give everyone spiritual, eternal, blissful life. Unfortunately, because of the living entity's little independence, the living entity wants to, quote-unquote, deprogram the program of Krishna. This is the material disease. Nonetheless, Krishna wants to give transcendental bliss to the living entities. He appears in various forms, therefore he's called Krishna. Because Gargamuni was an astrologer, he knew what others did not know. Yet Krishna has so many names that even Gargamuni did not know them all. It is to be concluded that Krishna, according to his transcendental activities, has many names and many forms. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.8.15 purport. The meaning is clear. Garga spoke thus to Nanda. Anucheda 33. Yasyavatara yayante sharireshvashir sva. No, yes, sva sha sharirinaha. Yais taister atula tisher the tisha yer vira yer de hi shvasan katihi. Though you have no material body, your avatars can be inferred in their various forms, like Matsya, by their indescribable, astonishing powers and activities, which are not found in material bodies. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.10.34. Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. Krishna, in his full, unlimited potency, here shows that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For although the two trees were so large and sturdy that even elephants could not move them, Krishna as a child has exhibited such extraordinary strength that they fell down with a great sound. From the very beginning, by killing Putana, Shatakasura, and Trinavartasura, by causing the trees to fall, and by showing the entire universe within his mouth, Krishna proved that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The lowest of men, mudhas, because of sinful activities, cannot understand this, but devotees can accept it without a doubt. Thus, the position of a devotee is different from that of a non-devotee. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.10.34 purport. His avatars are known because they appear in bodies. Though he appears in various bodies, when he appears he does not actually have a body. Asharirinaha. By considering the doctrine illustrated in the Bhagavad Sandarbha with Nata Parampa Parama Yad Bhavata Sarupam, there is nothing superior to your form. It means that he does not have a body like a jiva, because one cannot take the literal meaning having no body at all. In the Lord there is no difference between body and possession of body. The Yamalar Juna trees spoke thus to the Lord. He says, as David does, yeah.
They were the trees.
Yeah, so he doesn't, because says that he has no form, but that no body, that doesn't mean it's like us. We are jiva, then we have a body. He's not like that. He is his body. So that's at least one thing we should say. I am my body. Anucheta 34. Lakshmi, Brahma, Shiva, and the rulers of the various planets place the dust of Krishna's lotus feet on their heads. And to protect the codes of religion, which he has created, he assumes pastime incarnations at various times. By what sadhana will Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan, become pleased with me? Srimad Bhagavatam 10.58.37. The meaning is clear. Nagnajit spoke thus to the Lord. Anucheda 35. Namastasmai Bhagavate Krishnayamala Kirtaye Yo Datte Sarvabhutanam Abhava Yoshati Ti Kala. I offer my obeisances to the person of spotless fame, the Supreme Lord Krishna, who contains within himself the attractive avatars, or contains within himself attractive avatars so that all living entities can extinguish suffering. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:87-46. The commentary of Sridhar Swami says, Narada praises Narayan as an avatar of Krishna. Since it has been said, Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam, he indicates that Krishna should be praised with prayers, since Narada offers his respects to Krishna after hearing the prayers of the Shrutis. The superiority is indicated by Krishna's exceptional quality of giving liberation to his enemies. Simply by constantly thinking of him, the enemies of the Lord attain the same supreme truth whom sages fixed in yoga worship by controlling their breath, mind, and senses. Similarly, we Shrutis, who generally see you as all-pervading, will achieve the same nectar from your lotus feet that your consorts are able to relish because of their loving attraction to your mighty serpentine arms. For you look upon us and your consorts in the same way. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:87-23. Narada spoke thus the first verse.
Maharaj?
Yes.
When it said that of giving liberation, any avatar of Lord, whenever there is a pastime happening, there is a mention about that the person is freed from his sins and...
Yes, but that's someone who's favorable.
Yes.
Means Vishnu is Mukunda. It means, you know, that, so that aspect is there. So to the devotees, they get liberation. Like that. So any form like that. But the demons, it's only because it's connection with Krishna. So for us, is that, so if you only see the avatar in that form on its own, you know, you see that form of Vishnu, then you'll attain that level. But when you see those all in connection with Krishna, then you can attain Braj. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But as far as it goes, it means the devotees are always liberated. Yeah. Sir?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Vichy, having established Krishna as the cause of Leela avatars, the next Anucheda proves that he is the cause of the Guna avatars. Anucheda 36. Krishna is the cause of the Guna avatars. Thus questioned by the most affectionate Uddhava, Krishna, the supreme controller of all controllers, who utilizes the universe for his pastimes and assumes three forms of the Purusha avatars by his energies, began to reply, displaying his attractive smile filled with love. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:29-7. Udriti, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. The Lord appears in three forms, as Antayami by his internal energy, and as the jiva by tatastha shakti, and as the material body by the external energy. The Lord uses the world for performing his pastime, jagat kridan nakaha. By his form as Antayami, he inspired Uddhava to ask these questions to give bliss to the future devotees of Kali Yuga. The Lord's pastimes, or playing, are for spreading bhakti ras to the devotee. The Lord assumed three other forms. As Uddhava, he asks questions. As Krishna, he gives answers. As the devotee, Sukadeva and Parikit, limited in a particular time and place, he supplies sweetness in the form of their questions and answers. Such skill in giving mercy is not possible with anyone else. He is the Lord of all lords. He has an attractive smile displaying prema. Sardarta Darshani 11:29-7. So Krishna is everything and all that. But the point is it's all everything, but at the same time, just as he's conscious, then these everythings are also have that position of consciousness. Therefore, even though we're part and parcel of Krishna, we're conscious.
Yeah.
and we can appreciate that interaction. But we don't have another position other than part and parcel of Krishna, servant of Krishna. That's the nature. That's what we are. If we try to do something else, it'll always create a problem. So, the meaning is clear. One should also see the following. For persons ignorant of your actual position, you appear in the material world, spreading Maya. For the creation of the universe, you appear like me, Rama. For its maintenance, you appear like Vishnu. And for its annihilation, you appear like Shiva, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.19. Udriti, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Not understanding anything about your spiritual universe, the materialists think that you are simply material, Maya. According to the persons who think themselves learned, but are ignorant of the path of bhakti, Tat Paradim, you, Atma, spread yourself in matter, Anatmani, by your own will, Atmana, and though without form, you take a form in matter, Pashi. For creation, become Brahma, Aham. For maintenance, Vidane, you become Vishnu, Tva, and for destruction, become Shiva, Trinetraha. Though you are without form, you take a form as in matter as Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. Thus the form of Narayana is situated in the water of Maya, and all the avatar forms are all composed of Maya. The transcendental calves and boys and four-headed forms of Vishnu are all Maya. This is the conception of the ignorant. Right? So they think that everything is just, he's taken this form, the mundane form. But the point is it's all his potency. But he's always then transcendental. So they think because he's taken this, then he's become material. Therefore, then they're impersonal. So, yeah. Sukadeva Goswami spoke thus the first verse. Vritti. Next, the next few anuchetas specify Krishna as the cause of the main manifestation of the Purusha avatars, wherein his supreme power and blissful nature is highlighted. Anucheta 37. Krishna manifests the Purusha avatars. Iti matir rupa kalpita vitrishna bhagavati sattvata pungave vibhumni swasukam upagate kvachit vihartum pakritim upayushi yad bhava pravaha. At the end of my life, I offer my thoughts to you, Bhagavan, full of six qualities, best of the yadus, superior to all other forms of the Lord, absorbed in bliss with your associates, and who, as a pastime, in the form of the Purusha avatar, sometimes accepts Maya by your glance, which produces the material world. Srimad Bhagavatam 1932. Udriti, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. At the end of my life, iti, my thoughts are offered to the Lord. Since my master has come to me at the time of my passing away under the influence of his mercy, I must give him a gift. There is nothing suitable in this abode of possessiveness and ego. Therefore, I make a gift of my thoughts alone. Then, but in this world, we see people who give also...
Also have desire to take? Who give, comma, also have desire to take? Is they're expecting something back now?
Yeah, yeah. I'm just trying to think how it would be. Okay. Maybe it says give who offer. But in this world we see people who offer their desires but only to, you know, receive something in return. You just need to use more words. That's the problem. In Sanskrit you can say it so simple, but in English you sometimes need a whole phrase. My thoughts are without desire. Vrit Trishna, I offer them to Bhagavan, who is full of six wondrous qualities. But the Lord is famous as Narayana. No, he is famous as the best of the Yadu dynasty. But Narayana is greatly famous as Bhagavan for all time. There is no greatness superior to his Vibhumni. He is the source of Narayana. So this discussion. He attained Gate, Profushli, Upa, the highest bliss, Shrukam, with his own Yadavas and Pandavas, Sva. The main qualities of the Lord have thus been described. Next, the secondary qualities are described. You contact Maya by glancing, for evolving Mahatattva, from which arises the sequence of material creation. You do this in your forms of the Purusha avatars. Sardartha Darshani, 1.9.32. Sridhar Swami's commentary is this. Bhishma offers his work to Krishna in order to pray for Rati to Krishna, the highest goal. Vibhumni means to Krishna in comparison to whom no one has any greatness. This shows that Krishna has supreme power. He is endowed, upa gate, with the highest bliss arising from the sarup, swa sukham. He sometimes accepts upayushi, prakriti, for play, vihartum. He is not like the jiva who is dependent and has his sarup covered. His play is described. From this play, the sequence of creation, bhava pravaha, manifest. Bhishma spoke thus, the verse to Krishna. This is all come up. Impersonal state, he'll get the Brahman will be covered. So that then you have that form, so then the Lord is covered, but he's pointing out here is he never becomes covered. We become covered, but he doesn't, so then you can't get that. You call it that perspective. Yeah? Is that good? Yeah?
I mean, it's really important point because the first Rupa Goswami in Lagu Bhagavatamrita establishes Krishna Bhagavan Swayam, and Jiva Goswami again, he does the whole thing in his own way, but it's an exact same point. So it's got to be something really, really important. If one after the other, they both put a lot of stress on this.
Yes. But Jiva Goswami, what he does is Rupa Goswami will make the statement, and then Jiva Goswami then will supply all the evidence.
Yeah.
You know, Rupa Goswami may give evidence, but if he doesn't, Jiva Goswami will give it. You know, just like establishing Radha and Krishna as the supreme deity. That's just, he just says that. But then Jiva Goswami then wrote a whole book establishing that, how Radharani is the supreme Lakshmi. Because otherwise, then others will say, no, they're expansions of Lakshmi Narayana. So that's the thing. It's also that Rupa Goswami gave the mission, and then Jiva Goswami formulated into the Vishva Vaishnava Raja Sabha. So it's always, he's always following Rupa. So.
Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Jai.